Lexicon. The Incarnation is one of the greatest miracles recorded in the Bible. At the Incarnation, the eternal God became a human being. He did not abandon his deity, nor did he put on a human shell like a hand puts on a puppet. Jesus Christ is 100% human and 100% God, the only acceptable sacrifice for the forgiveness of sins.
This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Forget Christian nationalism. Say bye-bye to church barbecues. This is Wretched Radio. Tom Rainer, Christian Post. He used a church as an anecdote that he believes represents a number of churches that do community outreaches. This particular church, which typically gets about 175 people on Sundays, has 650 people attend their annual community barbecue. So you bring the kids, retirees, you got pulled pork and ribs, and everybody comes to the barbecue, but nobody goes to the church. Zero. Nada. Nobody ends up becoming a member. And when I say nobody, I mean nobody. And he thinks that that is the trend with fall festivals, concerts, car shows. Nobody actually becomes a member of the church. And these churches are putting a lot of time and energy into these events, these community events, what this particular church even called an outreach event, and they were bearing no fruit whatsoever. Does that mean, therefore, your church should never do another barbecue? Well, the answer is possibly, maybe, not necessarily. Yeah, because it depends on what you do at that barbecue. And that's Rainer's point in this article. Is it an outreach, or are we just having a barbecue shindig with people from the community? Because if that's all you do, whatever it is, whether car show, whatever it is that your church has historically done, if people aren't being evangelized and aren't being reached, not just at the event, but after the event, you're probably spending a lot of time and energy with zero fruit. Zero fruit. The key to having these events and having them be successful for the populating of the Church of Jesus Christ, not of Latter-day Saints, is that the conversations that take place at the event go deeper than, hey, neighbor, which house do you live in? Oh, didn't that used to be the Smith house? Yeah, no, they, whatever happened to them, I think, well, they moved to Pittsburgh, if I'm not, those types of conversations, they're nice. And it's very easy to confuse that with evangelism, but it is not witnessing to somebody. It's just not getting deep at all. Furthermore, Rainer points out that when we don't show genuine interest, when it's just surfacey stuff, they don't return. They're just not coming back. Furthermore, he points out that when there's no follow-up afterward, and I've seen it, you do the big event and you kind of just wait for everybody to show up, but they don't. I think that the number zero is close, but I suspect it can happen on occasion. I'm thinking back to Vacation Bible School when I was a kid. This goes way back. I was probably in, yeah, I had to have been in high school, and I would participate. I didn't go to the Vacation Bible School. I helped at Vacation Bible School. And wow, did the kids come. I mean, they're just hundreds of kids would show up. And then on Sunday morning, the parents of the kids that came to VBS during the week would be invited to come to Sunday service because the kids were all going to sing their VBS songs. Okay, that's up to each church to decide if they want to do that or not. But the reason that that was done was the hope was now maybe people will actually come into the church. Well, parents did because they wanted to see their kids sing. Now, today, you know what that looks like. Those parents, they immediately get their cell phones out and all they're doing is recording the kids singing in church. But here's what I remember. This is anecdotal. I grant you that. But this is what I remember. Yeah, parents came to the one time Sunday morning because their kids were like, Mom, Dad, you got to come. We're going to be singing our songs. Sandals, sandals on his feet, dusty roads where people meet. You got to come here and sing that song. And they did. But my recollection is over the years, one, maybe two, but I'm thinking more like one family actually ended up staying. Now, I'm not suggesting you don't do vacation Bible school. That's not the point at all. But the point is, if we're not reaching the parents in a way that is connective, they really shouldn't be considered evangelistic outreaches or church growth opportunities because they don't perform. Let me share with you what Tom Rainer said. At most big churches, the interaction stops the moments the guests leave the parking lot. Then bye-bye, off they go. So if you want to do an event, what's the follow-up plan? Now, there would be some people who would argue the follow-up plan is the Holy Spirit. If they don't want to come back, they don't want to come. Okay. But following up with people, I certainly don't think is a sin. And what it reveals is that people then want to come to a church because it appears somebody actually cares for me. Rainer, true connection happens when church members step beyond the event itself. It's when a member sits with a guest at a picnic table and asks about their family. It's when someone follows up with a simple text saying, "Hey, it was great to meet you today. Want to grab coffee sometime?" It's when members invite guests into their homes, not just to their church. Rainer's claim is because they're looking for community. They're looking for relationship, not an event. Anybody can, you can go to the thingy-majig. the Renaissance Festival. Okay. Now, you're going to go back to that when, like in a week or two? Probably not, because it's an event. And that's, if you're doing an event at your church that doesn't involve connection, you're probably not going to get people to come back. They want to be a part of something more than a festival. They don't want to go to the Renaissance Fair at your church. They don't want to go to just another car show at your church. They want to go find a place to belong, to be a part of a family, which I'm sorry, I try to resist this temptation. That's why the doctrine of adoption is so important and so underserved these days. That's what church is. We are family. I got all my brothers and sisters and me. We are in the family of God. God is our Father. Jesus is our brother, and we are all united to Him. And this should be a place, oh, that is fast to forgive, slow to sin, slow to gossip, slow to be factious, slow to not serve. This is my family. That's what church is. It's my family. And we look around our churches and we go, you know, I got a family that's pretty much like the island of misfit toys. Yeah, exactly. Like I am, like you are. That's why we come together, because we need one another and we're in the same family. And if churches were promoting that sort of community, I got to tell you today, I think people would find that exceedingly attractive. Dare I say, even especially young people? They've got a million friends on their social media feed, but they don't know a soul and they're lonely. And they should come to church. And I'm not saying everybody's got a glom on them. I think we should be warm and friendly, but they should look around and go, oh, these people, there's something going on here that's, I kind of like it. How do I get in on this? Back to Tom Rainer. He's suggesting that members use events to outsource evangelism. They either do the event, and maybe the pastors will follow up, or if they come to church, but that's the end of it. Well, that's not evangelism. Doing the event that attracts people, I don't think that there's anything wrong with that. But if you're going to call it an evangelistic event, then you got to evangelize. And Rainer's point is you got to connect with people. Now, if you're not willing to do those things, I would ask, why would a church want to do a barbecue? I mean, we want to take care of people's souls, not their bellies. I mean, we can set up a food pantry to take care of people who have genuine food needs. We should be using these events to evangelize a community. One of the biggest mistakes, writes Rainer, that churches make is treating big events as standalone moments instead of part of an ongoing mission. The barbecue was great. People came and laughed and ate, but no one was ever explained why the church was doing it in the first place. And the guests left thinking it was just a nice community gathering. They never connected the event to the gospel or the mission of the church. It's amazing how easily we can overlook that, can't we? Hey, Jimmy's got a truck with a barbecue thing connected to the back of it. Oh, you saw that already. We could do a barbecue at the church. Yeah, the community will love it. Yeah. Hold it. What's the point? Why are we doing this? Rainer, when events are disconnected from the mission of the church, they become ends in themselves. And the win is a great turnout instead of people getting saved or people coming to see what this Christian thing is all about inside of the church. Churches count the number of hot dogs served instead of the number of conversations that lead people to Christ. Should you be done with your barbecue? Well, that's up to you, of course, but might I encourage you that if you're going to do these types of church events, it's a church event. The VFW, they can do a barbecue just fine. But we're not the VFW. We're not the Renaissance Festival. We're the church. People should feel that when they show up for their ribs. This is Wretched Radio.
Let me ask you a question. When was the last time you actually felt something without fear, without shame, without immediately wanting to numb it? If you're living on autopilot, you're not alone. Millions are told the same thing. It's just a chemical imbalance. Hey, take this, you'll be fine. But you're not fine. You're numb. Here's the truth the world doesn't tell you. Your emotions, they're not the enemy. But they also shouldn't be your master either. Dr. Greg Gifford gets that, and his new series, Life Without the Numb, is available right now at fortisplus.org. It's a free 10-week series that shows how God's Word speaks into anxiety, depression, and emotional chaos, and it does so with clarity you've never heard before. New episodes every Monday, absolutely free at fortisplus.org. This isn't about ignoring struggles. It's about transformation from the inside out. Life Without the Numb. Watch at fortisplus.org. Stop surviving and start living. Look, I'm going to be straight with you. Every man knows what it's like to fight a battle no one else can see. You wake up, you're determined that today is going to be different. This time, you're going to be stronger than the temptation. But then evening comes. And there you are again, right back where you started. You're making promises to yourself that you already know deep down that you're not going to keep tomorrow. Here's what no one wants to admit. You can't win this fight with willpower. Trust me, if determination alone could break the chains of lust and sin, you would already be free. You've probably figured that out by now. The filters, the accountability apps, the promises to your wife or to yourself, they're just band-aids on a wound that needs surgery. Real freedom, the kind that actually lasts, it only comes when Christ changes you from the inside out. Not just your habits, but your actual heart. That's what Todd Friel gets into very deeply with his resource, Play the Man. It's available right now as an ebook, an audiobook, and video series only at fortisplus.org. Thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today. At Fortis Institute, we've assembled an incredible team of biblical voices who are equipping believers every day. Dr. John Krotz, Dr. Adam Tyson, Dr. Greg Gifford, Libby Glosson, Pastor Brad Bigney, Dr. Andrew Walker, Jason Lyle, Tim Challies, and of course, our very own Todd Friel. And their work has been invaluable in equipping believers because that's our mission. And the beautiful part, when you join us and link arms with us as an ongoing monthly gospel partner, your faithful giving doesn't just sit there. It multiplies into campus evangelism and biblical counseling, marriage restoration, and gospel proclamation across the globe. And speaking of equipping people, make sure you download Fortis Plus. It is completely free if you haven't downloaded it yet, and it is loaded with hundreds of hours of content, with new content added every single day. No cost, no catch, just solid biblical truth. Look, the fields are white for harvest, and your monthly partnership make it possible. Join us as an ongoing monthly gospel partner right now by visiting fortisinstitute.org. Wretched. Amazing grace, amazing gospel.
God has given the church many gifts for the building up of the body. One gift is service, the spiritual ability to meet people's physical needs. Just as Christ came not to be served, but to serve, God provides the office of deacon, those who are charged and equipped to care for the physical needs of the church.
This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
The church is one foundation, is Jesus Christ the Lord.
Church news. My jaw just popped. HR, what's our insurance? Speaking of insurance,
let's not.
This is Wretched Radio. Have you seen the price of insurance? I've been hearing all about it. People bellyaching because the rates are going crazy. I think it has something to do with tax credits being revoked. They're trying to get them back in. That and just the cost of healthcare, which means, you know what this means, don't you? Barack Obama kept his promise. It'll just get better. Yeah, nothing will change. You can keep your healthcare. You can keep your doctor. Everything is going to be utopia, except for the fact that it hasn't been utopia. And as long as I brought up the subject of politics, a couple of stories that caught my attention, and I can't help but think to myself, oh, for more of these. The University of Colorado Anschutz School of Medicine had to pay $10.3 million to 18 plaintiffs who sought religious exemptions for not taking the jab, and they were denied. Well, they've been in court for years fighting over this thing, but they finally settled $10 million. May there be more lawsuits for the organizations, including our military, frankly, that forced people and just twisted their arm. People lost their jobs over that, and they wouldn't allow them to use a genuine religious exemption. Then this isn't a commentary on jabs. This is a commentary on religious freedom. It was squashed. And I wish there were more settlements like this. Would you like to know what the school said in response? Well, I'm going to share it with you anyway. The policy was grounded in science. Excuse me for a moment. I'm sorry. Had a little thing. Public health guidance and our obligation to safeguard lives during an unprecedented global crisis. Unprecedented? Didn't even come close to that. Spanish flu. That's the black plague. Yeah, now we're talking. While some chose to challenge the policy, the evidence remains clear. Vaccination was essential to protecting the vulnerable, keeping hospitals open, and sustaining education and research. Except none of that was actually scientific, was it? All right, back to church news. Sorry, I see a shiny object. Here's a statistic. This was the big study. I think they do it every other year at Ligonier. It's the Ligonier State of Theology. A number of statistics that kind of heartbreaking, but this one really jumped out at me, and I think it might end up getting up your nose, but it is easily refutable. We need to be prepared for the 18% of Americans who indicated they believe the Bible was written to control or manipulate other people. How would you persuade them? No, that's not why it was written. How would you do that? Well, I think you can go internally. And you can ask the book itself, what is your intention? And it's not to control people. It is that people would have liberty being set free in Jesus Christ. That's what the book says about itself. Furthermore, ask yourself the question, what was the intention of the authors? Did they tip their hand in any way? Or were they being really sneaky? We're just going to write this letter to the Thessalonians, whoever they are, so that some of the verses centuries later can be taken and misinterpreted, and then somebody can take over a society. Yeah, that's what we're going to do. It's nonsense. It's absolute nonsense. There is zero proof that the Bible was written to oppress people. That is a ridiculous CRT-like claim that is being made 2,000 years later. This it would be like me saying, A Tale of Two Cities really was propaganda to raise taxes on infrastructure. Yep, That's why that was written right there. Higher taxes for shovel-ready jobs that the government pays for. That's why it was written. And what would you say in response? Where does it say that? Furthermore, what historical proof do you have of that? Furthermore, did Charles Dickens somehow benefit from this in some way, shape, or form? What about the writers of the Bible? Were they able to oppress people? Well, let's see. Paul's oppression that he imposed on people included himself being beaten, tortured, whipped, scourged, put in jail, shipwrecked. So, yeah, there was some oppression, but it was on Christians. It was Christians that got oppressed. And there were entire books written because of Christian persecution. Not that we were persecuting others, but that we were being persecuted. So when you meet one of the 18% who says that, turn the table and put the burden of proof on them. It is as simple as that. Put the burden of proof on them. A couple of stats from the Ligonier State of Theology. Evangelicals are not doing well. The significant majorities of evangelicals do not hold to a literal belief in Scripture. Half of American adults see the Bible as a collection of helpful but ancient myths that are not literally true. Seems that that's where where's Jordan Peterson been anyway? Has he been like on a little bit of a hiatus? I have not been seeing him out on social media very much at all. Less than half of respondents said that they strongly agree or somewhat agree that the Bible is 100% accurate in all that it teaches. And that includes evangelicals, by the way. When asked to respond to the statement, there's one true God in three persons, God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, 55% agreed with it. A majority of U.S. adults, we saw this, this was a different from a Barna survey earlier this week. A majority of U.S. adults believe that God accepts the worship of all religions. 44% strongly agree with that statement. 20% somewhat agree. In other words, the state of theology in America, it ain't good. Here's the good news, though. People who want it are actually finding it, and they are actually becoming members of churches. Do you know how many non-denominational churches there are in the U.S. of A? Glad you asked. There's 40,000 of them. 40,000. Non-denominational Christianity. Look, it can be problematic because of a lack of accountability. But honestly, have denominations done a superior job in keeping drift away from the denomination? All we typically see with denominations these days is that they're all slip-sliding away and not in the right direction. So non-denominational, denominational, why are people attracted to non-denominational churches? And the answer is they tend to be more serious. Bible-teaching churches are on the uptick. Every other denomination is just falling off a cliff. Episcopalianism, by the way, the Episcopalians, they just had some conference or another, and they had to do a report on how many members that they've got. Yeah, they kind of left that out. The Episcopal Church, I got it right here. They saw declines in baptisms and the number of parishes in 2024, but they failed to release a membership tally. When revealing their annual figures, and they are just plummeting. For instance, 2024, no numbers. 2023, it was 1.5 million. In 2010, 2 million. They're dropping. Pastor, people want meat. They want something serious. They don't want silly. They don't want trite. They don't want trivial. By the way, we'll let you know how that works out for Alpharetta Bible Church. We're kind of going to go after that sort of aggressively. We're going to be posting things at the Facebook and the X machine, whatever the social media is. We're not going to say this, but basically, if you're looking for meat, if you're looking for a church that doesn't unhitch the Old Testament, if it feels like church has gotten downright silly and you want something sacred, come to see us. We'll let you know how that goes, because I think that that's what people are actually looking for. Speaking of mainline Protestantism, how's about the UMC, the United Methodist Church? stating at the General Council on Finance and Administration, at their big meeting, their overall budget was reduced 40%. The leader of it said their financial house is on fire. Of course it is. Was it yesterday? The day before? Earlier? No, whatever day it is. The United Methodist pastor in Rochester, New York, who went into the pulpit, had the audacity to go into the pulpit with a rainbow stole and let his congregation know that he's becoming a girl, so he thinks. Is there any wonder? What do they say? Go woke, go broke. That's the claim. I don't know how accurate it is, but that's the claim. Let's just apply that to churches. Go liberal, go out of business. People don't want to sacrifice for silly. People don't want to sacrifice for sin. People don't want to sacrifice for same. It's like, oh, I can get that on cable TV. Why would I go and give them money? If you're a Bible teaching church, stay with it. God will produce fruit. And until tomorrow, go serve your King.